Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. We made it. It's Friday. Good to be with you. Seth is having a hell of a show already off the air this morning, so it's all good.
Good morning, my friend. The last 10 minutes were gold, Sean.
They were the best, yeah.
Basically, before we get started, I just want to let everybody know that I'm... Sean and I discussed for 10 minutes whether a tweet that I wanted to send out would be perceived as racist.
It's not racist. What would it be perceived that way?
I don't think it's one bit racist. It would be more a political joke, but because we live in this day and age, it's almost a... I kind of look at things like, okay, you know what? If it's going to be perceived as racist and even irrationally so, then I'm just not going to bother with it. And then we decided what I need is a personal board of directors
right.
of a group of crackpots of you know
right.
various backgrounds who can check my privilege for me.
Correct. Yeah.
Now this will be an unpaid position, and I understand the irony of that, but that is I'm gonna start putting together my panel of privilege checkers.
All right.
So then I can run this joke through my board of directors, so that you know by the time it's approved by everybody, it won't be funny anymore because the time will have passed. But still.
If you are anything other than a white heterosexual male, DM Seth right now so he can vet you for his joke board of directors. Is that right?
That's a yes.
Okay.
Again,
DMs are open.
Unpaid position.
Right? No, it's voluntary. It's purely voluntary. But it'll be a good resume builder.
It's a little like an internship. Okay, so I got to figure out a way to make this thing work so I can pay some people to check my...
Boy, you really want to get these jokes out there, don't you? Painstaking effort.
It's one joke, and I swear, Sean, it's...
You're so proud of it.
I don't think it's one bit racist. I gotta. I'm DMing people right now.
Okay. It is funny. All right. So speaking of Twitter, and by the way, good morning, everybody. It's nice to have you with us here on a Friday. On Twitter last night, Josina Anderson. She got a lot of run with these tweets about Deshaun Watson. This was her update. And Josina Anderson is an NFL reporter for ESPN who's pretty plugged in. Says, as far as the Deshaun Watson case, my understanding, based on conversations today, is that the league is still in fact-finding and monitor mode. She says, boy, it's hard to do this Twitter thing. She's got the Lopez thing going on with Twitter where she can't put a thread together.
What the hell, Lopez and Josina Anderson? You guys, Peter King had this issue like 5 years ago, and he figured it out. But
yeah,
come on.
So, second tweet: an NFL source also made a point that in previous prominent cases involving players put on the exempt list and/or that were subject to the conduct policy, league action was accelerated around those seeking to remain with their current team. I'm told, this is the final tweet. I'm told, Josina Anderson says, given there's league sentiment that Deshaun Watson's situation with the Texans is different in that regard, in other words, he doesn't want to be a Houston Texan, the sense is that there isn't a need to do anything too early as of now, per source. Seth, if anything, the word anything refers to being put on the commissioner's exempt list, not suspended. He's not getting suspended between now and training camp. If what she's saying is that, hey, Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be there, that the way I read this is, hey, Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be a Texan, so there's really no rush in us having to do anything, then we're on the cusp of some very interesting things come Camp Caserio next week.
Yeah, if you remove all ego, pride, I guess personal discomfort from the situation, and just analyze it strictly into, like, strategically, what should Deshaun Watson do? Just strictly, strategically, without any of all the other human elements that, you know, cloud the issue, he should probably report to camp.
Yes.
Because he forces the hand of the NFL and the team, potentially, maybe he does. But for somebody that's never publicly said that he's going to hold out, his agent, David Mulligetta, the one time he's really said anything publicly about the holdout suggestions, he said that that Deshaun didn't have any plans to hold out.
Yeah, he denied Deshaun skipping out on things.
Yeah, I mean, as far as we know, there has been a trade request. That's never been denied. Right. Adam Schefter, that was actual news that Adam Schefter reported, right, instead of Adam Schefter rehashing news. Yeah. He reported actual news that Deshaun had requested a trade. Not a single person, including the team itself, has denied that. So, but that's not the same as holding out. So, I mean, it's a lot of money for Deshaun, who's facing. When Deshaun asked for that trade, he didn't know he would be facing perhaps a protracted work stoppage. It's one thing to hold out for half a season or a full season, but now it's everything's a lot dicier, not to mention that he might have to end up coughing up a whole bunch of money, either in a settlement or a judgment at some point. So I think it makes the most sense for him to show up. Now, will he? There's all kinds of reasons why he wouldn't, but just strictly from a dollars and cents standpoint, he should probably show up.
What does the team do if he shows up at the building next Tuesday? Tuesday is the day, just to lay out the timeline for those who are kind of getting re-engaged with the NFL here, because the season's starting up pretty soon. Tuesday, players have to report. Rookies report this weekend. The rest of the roster, the veterans, all report on Tuesday. The first practice is Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. So Tuesday's the day that he would have to report. What does the team do? Seth, what would you do if you were Nick Caserio? I think Nick Caserio is the one calling the shots on this stuff. Or this Deshaun showing up at the building may be over even Nick Caserio's head in all this. There may be upper management ownership involved in how do we handle this Deshaun thing. What do you think happens if he shows up?
Sean, Nick Caserio's in a little bit of a position almost identical to what I was in yesterday. And it was just as stressful for me. I got a notification from the television company that they would be at my house between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m., or I think 1:45 p.m. and 1:45 p.m. and 2:15 p.m.
Yeah.
2:30 came, of course, and they were not there.
Right.
So I asked for another status update, and it said, oh, don't worry, your technician will be there between noon and 4 o'clock. And I thought to myself, well, thank God I didn't leave back at noon, because he could have showed up at noon.
Right.
I could have gone back in time and waited for my technician, because they moved it back. That's what Nick Caserio wishes he could do, is go back in time and seen all this coming, because he's in an almost unwinnable situation right now.
Yeah.
He could go back in time and see all this coming in advance, but he can't. I think they have to muddle along, have him show up, and perhaps come up with some kind of a reason, some kind of a detente between him and David Mulligetta and Deshaun Watson, where he's there. And as long as Deshaun is being a relatively good soldier and not creating a distraction or anything, he can participate in meetings, but he's not going to be out there as the number one quarterback right now. And they can say it's a hamstring or something, but I think that's probably the smartest thing for right now. And then you see how it goes for a week or two.
They can say it's a hamstring, but the dude's been putting workout videos where he looks super nimble and ready for the season. You know,
Sean. Like,
yeah,
Sean. Let's remember. Do you remember Jadeveon Clowney was his training camps the last couple go rounds?
Yeah, in West Virginia.
I think we were calling it perhaps like a soft holdout or what have you, where
that's
it
right.
was. He was there. He was laughing on the sideline. He was doing little TheraBand workouts and everything,
running around those little orange cones. He
looked healthy enough. Yeah. But and yet, persistent soft tissue issues.
Man, it's gonna be fascinating. If you're rooting for drama, if you're rooting for the soap opera, hell, if you're rooting for the chance that Deshaun Watson might still remain a Houston Texan, you know that. If you're somebody who's still holding out the small shred of hope that there's going to be a next chapter to the Deshaun Watson era here in Houston, then you're hoping that Roger Goodell doesn't come down with any sort of ruling between now and Tuesday, because the only way that this thing's going to get worked out is if you get the two parties together in some way, and maybe training camp and forcing them to get together is the way to do it. Who knows? But it's going to be fascinating next week. So basically, root for no news this weekend is what we're telling you. No news on the Deshaun front.
I've had a couple applications already for my check Seth's privilege board of directors.
Yeah.
Unpaid position. And a 50-year-old professional African-American guy, I'll review your content for a day in exchange for a tour of the studio.
Okay.
Ooh, that would, Sean, okay, here's the idea. Okay, this is what we got to do. We got to have my board of, we got to have my privilege check board of directors all come in to sit in on a show one day.
I love that idea.
With red pens and like and reading glasses, and they can just stare across the desk at me. I'll have a panel of four various, you know, non-middle-aged white dudes that that can check my privilege that way.
I've always thought it would be fun to do our show. Like, I mean, I'm not talking about a remote. Like, we've got an awesome lounge here, like a Verizon Artist Lounge, where the FM stations have artists come in and play music for a small audience there. I've always thought it'd be fun every now and then to do like a live show, you know, do our show live, like have a breakfast or something like that and do the show live. And then COVID hit. So
we did that with that players thing last year.
Right.
That was when we had like 17 players up on the podium.
We all
argued with each other.
I was the moderator. I just threw the red meat into the middle of the group there and let you guys go after it. So
some of us were drinking too. That made it even more fun.
That's absolutely right.
Reminds me, I just signed a deal with Bud Light to talk about Bud Light for a while.
So. Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. All right.
Preview.
So DM Seth if you want to be on his privilege. What is it? What are you calling it again? The privilege board of directors?
I'm going to let the board decide that. I feel like I've offended people already with the name.
All right. So
I'm not saying anything anymore until it's been approved.
We're off and running on a Friday. Sticking with the NFL for another segment. Hey, remember last year when COVID would hit a team and the NFL would shuffle the schedule around, play games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays? This season, not so fast, my friend. We'll tell you what the NFL has planned for COVID outbreaks this year next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Friday. Good to be with you. So the NFL, Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, laid this out yesterday. And if you remember last year with the NFL, the schedule was bananas because there were COVID outbreaks on teams. There were games that were postponed, bye weeks getting shuffled around. There was one week where I think it was the Titans had an outbreak. So there were eight different games on the schedule that got shuffled around over like a four-week period. There were games being – Seth, remember there were games being played on Tuesday and Wednesday nights because of COVID?
This is the long and the short of it, and I'm glad you brought up the Titans. Basically, the NFL isn't requiring you to get the vaccine,
right?
But if you run your operation is in such a slipshod manner as the Titans did last year, you'll basically get the death penalty.
Yeah.
It's like the program death penalty. I mean, because remember, the Titans were, I think it was overstated at times, but they were way too cavalier about things, and then they got together and practiced away from the facility and everything. Basically, the penalties this year for forfeiting a game if it's because of an unvaccinated individual make it a huge disincentive to not get the vaccine.
Yeah, and so that's where we were going with this. Tom Pelissero tweets yesterday, the NFL just informed clubs, this is yesterday afternoon, like right around lunchtime, the NFL just informed clubs that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season in 2021 due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and be credited with a loss for playoff seeding, per sources. Massive implications. So in other words, as Seth just touched upon there, you remember the Titans had an outbreak last year, and they had a game coming up, I believe, with the Steelers. And so all of a sudden now, not only are the Titans impacted by it because you're postponing games and shuffling the schedule, so are the Steelers. And then ultimately you get deep into the season and games are getting pushed around and moved around and shuffled on the schedule. And so you get teams that handled COVID perfectly that are getting impacted by all this. The league says now, you know what, if you have a COVID outbreak with unvaccinated players, you're forfeiting games. In a sport, this isn't baseball where there's 162 of them. This is football. There's 17 of them. That's massive, massive implications. And Seth, you're right. This is basically the league saying, this is the league essentially mandating the players get vaccinated without mandating the players get vaccinated, more or less, right?
Yeah, it's putting a lot of social pressure on them. You know, like, hey, your buddies aren't going to get paid, and it's because of you.
That's the other thing. Oh, yeah, I'm glad you said that. If a game gets canceled because of COVID and there's a forfeit, players from both teams lose game checks.
This is like in Full Metal Jacket when Gomer Pyle screws up, but Gomer Pyle doesn't have to do the push-ups. He has to stand there eating a donut, a jelly donut, while everybody else does push-ups.
Yeah.
You punish the one. There's another way. It's one thing to punish everybody, including the person who has an offense, but when you let the person who has the offense have to sit there and watch, then all of a sudden the shaming becomes too great. So I think that's where they are. Now, it's still... if they meet that, this is what I'm not clear about, I guess, or I was a little bit confused about. Is it only if the team isn't at 85% and they trace it to unvaccinated individuals?
I haven't gotten that deep in the weeds.
I mean, when you
it.
Get into the epidemiology of this is like, at the end of the day, Sean, the NFL was kind of careful in its verbiage on all of this. They said they don't plan on extending the season to accommodate any extra games. They didn't say that they wouldn't. Right. I think this is a little bit of saber rattling where they're saying, look, all right, we're ready to get really serious about this. But if push came to shove, I don't think they would. But I think what they're banking on is enough of the threat of it right now where guys that are kind of on the fence are like, okay, yeah, hell, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I guess probably the most prominent player to speak out about this or tweet out about this, and the tweet has since been deleted, was former Texan and current Arizona Cardinal DeAndre Hopkins, who deleted a tweet yesterday afternoon shortly after posting it, and he said he would question his future in the NFL if it meant not getting the COVID vaccine could potentially hurt his team's chances in 2021. His tweet came after the memo came out and the NFL saying that you would forfeit games, teams would forfeit games if there was a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players. Hopkins' now deleted tweet read as follows. Never thought I would say this, but being in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. After deleting his initial tweet, Hopkins just tweeted, freedom? Question mark?
Yeah, like Wallace there from Braveheart.
Yeah, William Wallace. He screamed it as he was getting his innards pulled out.
From the movie Braveheart and also from actual history. Yeah. William Wallace.
Yeah, right.
They based a character in history off of that movie character. Yeah. So DeAndre Hopkins yelling, freedom!
Freedom!
Right. Yep. Yeah, and then he did also tweet later that he plans on playing 7 or 8 more years. So there are a few guys, the Buffalo Bills, who have become the epicenter of vaccine truthers. Cole Beasley's been very vocal about it. There's an offensive lineman that said, hey, this thing was created in a lab in China. It's been proven. And also Fauci worked for, I don't know which one. I can't remember which one they're playing. So he spouted off some conspiracy theory about it, but it still didn't really give a good explanation for why you shouldn't. If it was created in a lab in China, let's say it was, look, should we still not defend ourselves against it? I mean, it's not like Shaq said, wow, the Chinese government sent Yao Ming over here, so I'm not going to defend against him. Of course you defend. Just because it comes from China doesn't mean you don't defend against it. My goodness.
Right, exactly. That's exactly
Le-
right.
And Yao was not created in a lab. Yao was created by his two freakishly tall parents.
right. But it still came from the People's Republic of China. Yeah. So, this is going to open a whole can of worms. I can't totally wrap my brain around why people don't get the vaccine. You know what I mean? Yeah,
this is the other question I have is, you know, I've heard from a couple people, you know, coaches and players that think that there were some players and guys haven't really used this as an excuse. I think Myles Garrett did bring it up at one point last year. Some guys that didn't publicly disclose that they had COVID in the summer last year, but that felt like they never really, like that they started the season depleted and didn't really recover from
right.
it. And that's the part that I find curious. It's that at the very least, if all the evidence shows that getting the vaccine, you know, isn't going to 100% prevent you from getting the disease, but that it very will likely make it much less severe when you do get it. I've seen enough NFL players who feel like their cardio and their endurance was affected, you know, for several months afterwards that I would have gotten it as soon as it became available because of that and that alone. So that's where it's just one more thing that it confuses me a little bit about some guys. Now the other look, it's a special case too within the African American community. There's an understandable and justified distrust at times of public health because of what happened with the Tuskegee Institute back in the day.
Sure.
But I understand starting from that baseline. But that's a good reason to really study and read things and do everything else. And I feel like, okay, we're at that point. We've had several months to do that. Get the vaccine.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Big story yesterday and still a big story today is Texas and Oklahoma looking to leave the Big 12. Two things happened yesterday that should probably scare the other eight Big 12 schools. We'll tell you what happened next.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Nice to be with you on a Friday. So yesterday, the big news was Texas and Oklahoma wanting to leave the Big 12 to go to the SEC. And this is picking up steam pretty quickly here. Here are the things that you need to know along that front as far as what went down in the last 24 hours is that reportedly the two schools did send a letter to the Big 12 stating that neither will renew their media contracts when they expire in 2025. So they, you know, a lot of things you need to give like 30 days notice or 90 days notice. Oklahoma and Texas are giving the rest of the Big 12 4 years notice that they want to leave the conference and go to the SEC. That's number one. Number two, the higher-ups within the conference, the ADs from the schools around the Big 12 called a video conference call yesterday, you know, sort of a triage situation here. Hey, let's get together so we can talk about all this. And they invited ADs from all 10 Big 12 schools. Eight showed up for the call. I'll let you guess, Seth, two didn't show up. UT and Oklahoma, the UT and Oklahoma officials not on the call.
This is a little bit of a mirror of the Deshaun Watson situation, isn't it? Or perhaps James Harden. Like if UT or Oklahoma had showed up, do you think they would have been overweight and not tried all that much? Like it would have just been It would have been the representative from UT just sitting there eating some pork rinds.
Right.
Just not really paying much attention.
Talking about how pathetic Texas Tech and Kansas State are, like James Harden was.
Yeah, meanwhile, Danny White's on there, meanwhile, texting with the dude from OU.
Right.
Talking about how lame everybody is. Yeah.
Right. So, So they were not on that call yesterday. So Oklahoma and Texas are dug in here. I mean, they are, and Seth, similarly, if a season were to even start next year, and there's obviously they're going to play in the Big 12 this season, but I remember how weird it was when you had these teams playing these sort of lame duck years in a conference. It was just really, really strange. And this isn't A&M leaving the Big 12 to go to the SEC, and you still got OU and Texas there. This isn't Colorado leaving to go to the Pac-12. This isn't Rutgers leaving to go to the Big 10, or Maryland leaving the ACC to go to the Big 10. These are the two pillars of the conference. Like, you lose Oklahoma and Texas, and the next season or two don't just get awkward like these two are leaving. Like, these two are leaving, and they are bringing a lot of the credibility for your conference with them. I mean, there's a chance the Big 12 just crumbles if these two teams leave.
And I think, some of this conversation, we got into this a little bit yesterday. You gotta think not even in terms of actual football prowess or anything. Think more in terms of TV viewers, like eyeballs. And that's independent of the population of your state or what have you. But, Oklahoma, say what you want about Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma. There's a lot to be said, frankly, Sean. But still, they got a lot of TV viewers. They draw a lot of eyeballs, and they're also really, really good. But Texas is the same way. So you take those two programs, those blue blood type programs, out of there, and then it'd be the equivalent of like if the SEC all of a sudden was nothing but. It'd be a little bit different, but it would be like what if the SEC were just Kentucky, Missouri, some of the lesser Mississippi State, some of the lesser teams of the SEC.
Right.
You're just not going to pull the same way as when you have those big stud programs at the top.
Yeah, it's not good if you're a fan of any of the other schools in the Big 12, or if you're just a fan of continuity in college football. It's not trending the right way for you right now. I put up that poll yesterday, Seth, for Aggies, and we know that not everybody's tuned in every day. So I'll throw the same question out there to any Aggies who weren't listening yesterday. And I suppose I would put this out to Longhorns and Sooners as well. But I'm most intrigued by the Aggies because they're the ones that are already in the SEC. They're the ones whose AD have spoken publicly about the school's stance on this, which is, publicly, as of right now, their stance is, we don't want Texas in the SEC. We left the Big 12 to get away from Texas. We don't want to be in the same conference with them again. I put the question out there to Aggies, both on the air and on a Twitter poll yesterday. Would you rather have Texas back in your conference so you can play them each season, or would you rather keep your SEC exclusivity in Texas? 55% of the people who responded to the poll, almost 800 people responded, 55% said they don't want Texas in the SEC. They'd rather be the only Texas school in the SEC. I don't know. If I put myself in the shoes of an Aggie, and admittedly, I don't have the emotional scars and baggage that come with competing against Texas year in and year out for my entire lifetime. But just I'm purely putting myself in the shoes of Aggies based on how I look at my school and the schedule at my school. I would love to have Texas back on the schedule if I were an Aggie. I would love for them to join the SEC, especially given the state of both programs right now. And the Aggies are competing in the SEC. The Aggies, you could argue, should have made the college football playoff last year, and they're in the SEC. The Longhorns right now, they went to the SEC. They're a 500 team at best. Best right now.
Well, I guess the argument would be, and this is what I don't know. It's not like Texas has a hard time recruiting right now, but could it be even better? Could it be even easier to pull big recruits if they're in the SEC? I guess theoretically, yes. But I also wonder, because Clint asked this question yesterday. Clint said, hey, hold on a second. He asked it of his Arkansas, his fellow Arkansas people. you know, why are some of you opposed to this? And it seems to be the most common response is that they don't want to have to all of a sudden now also compete against Texas for if you're getting some kid out of Texas who's one chance to go to the SEC is Arkansas, but now all of a sudden there's, you know, maybe Texas is in the fold as well, then it's a competitive disadvantage. I don't know. I think this is one of those situations where a rising tide lifts all ships. Mm-hmm. And adding Texas to your conference just enhances the visibility all that much more. It creates more regional rivalries.
Yeah, well, I mean, it creates, if you are recruiting at Arkansas, it creates the ability to tell a recruit and his family, hey, look, we're going to play at least a couple games. We're going to play Texas every year, you know, that sort of thing. We're going to play a couple games in Austin, you know, that you'll get to see in person, that sort of thing.
If I wanted to... Is there any chance that the AAC ends up getting like one, two, 3 years down the road from this? Could the kind of boomerang effect of this, or I guess one of the aftershocks of this, be if the Big 12 ultimately disbands because of it? Like let's say the worst case scenario, I would imagine at least a few are going to end up in the AAC, perhaps the, or is it vice versa? Is the AAC going to end up getting absorbed partly by the Big 12? What's more likely?
I don't know that it matters who's doing the absorbing and who's doing who's going where, because once Oklahoma and Texas leave, you're really talking, no disrespect to any of these other schools in the Big 12. I have sons that went to two of them, but those are prestige and blue bloodedness wise, those are tier two schools, all of them. All the schools in the AAC and all the schools still left in the Big 12, other than Kansas and basketball. We're talking strictly football here. Otherwise, they would be getting courted by conferences as well, and they're not right now. At least reportedly, they're not. So I think what happens is, yeah, there's going to be shuffling. Either the Big 12 is going to go into attack mode, and my guess is that was a big topic on their conference call yesterday, if I had to guess, from the other eight administrators, the administrators from the other eight schools who were on that call, is that their strategy was okay, their strategy on the call, the agenda of the call should have looked like this. I don't know what it looked like, but it should have looked like this. Okay, what do we do to try to keep Texas and Oklahoma in a cordial mode? Okay, then what do we do to try to keep them... And from a legal standpoint, like, first, let's try to keep them in all play happy, one big happy family. If that can't happen, then we got to protect ourselves and try to see what the legal entanglements or the legal strategy could be. And then the third thing is, if they're going to leave, they're eventually going to leave anyway. So what's our strategy after that? Who do we go after? Do we go after the University of Houston? Do we go after Boise State? Do we look at the Pac-12, which is kind of, you know, a rickety sort of conference right now? From a football standpoint, and see if there's, you know, if Colorado wants to come back to the Big 12. So I think that's what the call yesterday should have been. So I don't know where it goes if Oklahoma and Texas leave. I think there's going to be obviously a lot of ripple effects, a lot of moving around. I do think one sort of life raft for these other schools and for schools obviously in the AAC and the Mountain West and places like that is this playoff expansion. If the playoff expands to 12 teams and they're allowing the six highest ranked conference winners, then inherently, at least if you're Baylor and TCU and Texas Tech and West Virginia and schools like that, there's at least still an avenue to get into the 12 team playoff. You know what I mean? Like you're not totally shut out. It's not ideal, and certainly your TV checks are going to go way down. That's what ADs are worried about. They're not worried about at Baylor and West Virginia and places like that, they're not worried about, oh crap, the Big 12 is going to be a tier two conference, so now we're going to have a less of a chance of winning a national championship. They're worried that the TV checks that they're going to get are going to go from being $40 million a year to $10 million a year. That's what they're worried about. Those are hypothetical numbers, but that's the type of ratio we're talking about. We're talking about going from living in River Oaks to living in a condo somewhere.
I do think that I totally get and understand right now, just after having a day or two to sit and think about it. If I put myself in an Aggie's shoes, and I will be an Aggie once I sign up for this online class.
You keep saying that. I'll believe it when I see it, but whatever.
What if I do like an online certification or something, like just some of the, you know, they offer some of these seminars or something. I'm going to call myself an Aggie then.
Okay.
So, some of these NFL players will go to an off-season seminar at Harvard, and then they'll
say they went to Harvard.
They'll slap like a Harvard sticker on their bumper sticker.
Awesome.
Come on, dude.
So you've come to empathize over the last 24 hours?
I mean, think about it, honestly. Like A&M is it somewhat of a – there's a natural disadvantage for A&M in recruiting in Texas, just in terms of – you know, historical reputation, all that stuff. There's a certain shine to Texas that the Aggies were always up against a little bit. They balanced it out when they went to the SEC. That all of a sudden it was like their property. They were living two blocks off the beach. Then all of a sudden they had beachfront property.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's like you're sharing beachfront property with the University of Texas. UT's got the fact that they're UT. A&M is in the SEC. There you go. College Station is College Station, but Austin is Austin. It all kind of balances out. Now it's like you got beachfront property next to UT, and they decided to add a swimming pool and a lazy river around their home.
Yeah,
they've got a lazy river at their home on the ocean. It's crazy. It's the height of opulence.
Playing
it's a real
music
disadvantage.
And stuff,
yeah, the competitive balance really gets shifted a lot.
Yeah, text message. A lot of people texting in on this 713-572-4610. If you want in on the show, text message. I'm an Aggie. I'd enjoy playing Texas. But why I wouldn't want them in is we'd lose the recruiting advantage we now have with being in the SEC. You wouldn't lose the recruiting advantage. You would have I guess I'm parsing out semantics here. Like it's not as all of a, if Texas is in the SEC, it's not as though all of a sudden Jimbo Fisher's not going to be able to recruit Texas anymore. You know what I mean? Like
right.
the Aggies, I think you're going to be fine. I think you bringing up Arkansas, like though, I think it's the tier of school in the SEC that previously probably wasn't able to recruit Texas very well and is probably recruiting it better maybe than they ever have before. Like the Mississippi schools, Auburn, Arkansas for sure, being able to go into Texas now because A&M is in the SEC. Those would be the ones that should be more worried than A&M. I don't think A&M's a recruiting juggernaut right now. Text message from Trevor. The reason we don't want Texas in the SEC is because of our current status. Texas needs A&M. A&M clearly does not need Texas.
Yeah, and they do. And now that's a really interesting thing is that you need a 75% majority vote.
Yes.
Did we clear that up? Yeah.
Yes.
You need a 75% majority vote from SEC members, and the A&M clearly is not looking like they're going to vote for to allow Texas. And some people from A&M said, and what they're really upset about is they said that, look, there's been a gentleman's agreement moving forward, we wouldn't be adding two teams from the same state. Yeah. I mean, sure, you already have that situation now with Mississippi and Mississippi State and whatnot, but that moving forward, you know, those are all old historical things.
Yes.
Moving forward, you wouldn't do this. So, okay, In the tight-knit world, I know that gentlemen's agreements don't necessarily mean as much as they used to. In the tight-knit world of, you know, intra-conference politics in college football, I think that probably still does matter. I mean, there's still a whole lot of back-scratching that goes on between the institutions. And that's probably the biggest obstacle, is just that A&M has a right to feel indignant about this if the other member institutions consider it, because I do think that the gentleman's agreement is a real thing.
Yeah, well, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. We're talking about the Texas and Oklahoma stance right now of them wanting to leave the Big 12. They weren't on the conference call with the other conference administrators, the other ADs and CEOs in the conference yesterday. They've given notice that come the end of the media rights contracts for the conference in 2025, they want to leave the conference. They want to leave sooner, but they've at least provided written notice that they want out of the conference. To your point, Seth, about the gentleman's agreement, this isn't something that was sort of a wink-wink when Texas A&M came into the conference and there was no proof of it before. This, when the last round of realignment went on, there was absolutely behind-the-scenes bargaining that went on with the University of Georgia to keep Georgia Tech out, with the University of Florida to keep Florida State and Miami out, with South Carolina. They wanted to keep Clemson out of the SEC. So it's happened already in three or four other states in that footprint. And, yeah, if I'm an Aggie, I would feel like, okay, so it was good enough for these guys back in 2011 and 2012, but now we come here and we've been a good member of the conference. Now our football program is ascending. Yeah. We're one of the most, if football programs were businesses, you know, we're viewed as corporations out in the on the stock market, A&M would be one of the top three or four blue chip stocks out there right now. So you got to provide the same benefit to us that you did to all those other schools.
I'll be honest with you, just strictly selfishly, as a, I think first and foremost as a football fan, but then second as a sports radio host,
yeah.
I would love for them to be in the same conference because, frankly, it would be more college football talk. Like, we're so segmented in the city, really, yeah. because there's so many different huge alumni bases and fan bases of different college teams, but they're all in different conferences.
Yeah.
You don't get that Paul Feinbaum effect where you can just kind of pit the fans against each other. If Texas and Texas A&M were in the same conference again, I think we'd have to start a 1-hour show, Sean, with one of our hosts that would just do nothing but take calls of Longhorns and Aggies battling each other all day long.
Do you think that Longhorns and Aggies can bring it like they do in the state of Alabama? Have you ever listened to Feinbaum's show?
Yeah,
it's
Thunderdome. I think they could do an even better. Well, I think they would be a more learned fan base, a larger percentage of them would actually know how to read.
Yeah,
and
educated
that,
rednecks. Yes.
It would be a more intelligent conversation, right. But because of that, it wouldn't be as entertaining.
Right.
Sometimes the lowest common denominator, the Jerry Springer type stuff, is the best. And when you got a bunch of Alabamans barely speaking English, yelling at each other on the telephones, and that's good stuff.
Someone texts in, Alabama seems to be okay with Auburn being there. I guess my response to that would be, look, I get it. Alabama and Auburn in the same state. Hey, Ole Miss and Mississippi State are in the same state. Those are schools that have been in the SEC forever.
They've
been in the SEC before recruiting became the big business that it's become, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I made that distinction.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, it used to be like that, but yeah. Moving forward, they'd had this agreement. You know, as they absorbed new people into the conference, it was either with a wink, or even an explicit understanding that, look, you're going to be the only one. You're special, baby. Yeah. No, there's nobody else out there.
Right,
That's what the SEC is going to look like. They're mm-hmm. going to look like your dodgy player.
Yep.
Guy that's got three girls all going, and they all think they're the special one.
Text message, why would the SEC want the fungus that ruined the Big 12? I'll say this, the fungus part of it, whatever, you know, like that's awesome college football trash talk. We don't know that the SEC does want Oklahoma and Texas. Again, Oklahoma and Texas approach the SEC. It's not vice versa. This isn't the SEC raiding the Big 12, at least as it's been reported. It's not that. This is OU and Texas trying to look at the landscape, see what this 12-team playoff and all this NIL stuff is going to mean moving forward, the name, image, likeness stuff, and looking at it and saying, we need to stay above the fray here. We need to make sure we're attached to a ship that's not going to sink, and the SEC sure as hell is not going to sink.
Yeah, the Jackie Goss, my fellow Aggie, he just sent me the article I'd read yesterday. I couldn't find it, but R. Bowen Lofton, who had helped steer the Aggies into the SEC in 2011, said the oft-discussed unwritten rule was a, quote, specific conversation, unquote, during expansion talks in the 2010-2011 when he was involved. There's an understanding among the membership, at least it was 10 years ago,
yeah.
that you don't admit a school from the same state as a member school unless that member school's okay with it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It's like the mob. We'll see if the new people in charge are respecting old arrangements. Hey, there's a new sheriff in town. He ain't respecting old arrangements. We'll see.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, it's a little, you get a new mob boss and, you know, all of a sudden you don't have all the different garbage routes that you had before.
Yeah, look at me. I'm a naive schmuck thinking like, well, there's a gentleman's agreement.
Okay, I'm glad you said it.
Because
I was thinking it. I'm like, what a naive schmuck Seth is.
Seth's invoking a gentleman's agreement. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, that's cute.
No deal. No deal. Gentleman's agreement.
Bless his heart.
Someday I'm going to be standing at the gallows being like, we had a gentleman's agreement. A gentleman's agreement.
We had a gentleman's agreement. Heisman odds are out. Why do I bring up Heisman odds? Because the Heisman odds are basically a preview of the Texans' 2022 draft. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.